The West Live.
The West Live
with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Leave a hole and people will fill it. Give them an inch and they'll take a domestic flight. Just 48 hours after the Trans-Tasman bubble was created, 23 New Zealand travellers border-hopped their way into WA. Surprise, surprise. The Premier is fuming. And joining me now is Dr. Andrew Miller, the President of the Australian Medical Association. Dr. Miller, thanks for your time. These people in hotel isolation, are they a concern to the West Australian public?
Hi, Jenna. I don't think these ones probably are a practical concern in terms of COVID, having come from a pretty safe environment. But like anyone who's coming in from interstate, they were, you know, they've obviously transited through Sydney to get here. Mm-hmm. And there has been community spread there. So anyone who came from New South Wales would have to be quarantined for a bit.
Yep.
And when you're travelling, we know that we're in close proximity to other humans and therefore if there was any virus around, potential for it to spread. So what's of more concern to Western Australians, I think, is you've got to be looking at this and going, well, who's actually in charge, you know, and why are the federal and state government bickering, it seems, over most things now? And what does that mean for our safety in terms of the borders? Because clearly, when you've got the politicians arguing with each other and not cooperating with one another, mm-hmm. The risk of bungling something like ship arrivals, aged care and domestic arrivals just goes up and up and up.
Yeah. And in terms of, I think that, do you think that the conversation now needs to move, focusing on, look, the borders are going to have to come down eventually, rather than worrying about Matt's death, why aren't we worrying about making sure that our health system and our doctors and nurses are properly prepared?
Well, because you can't properly prepare for a huge outbreak, and that's what they showed in Victoria. Mm-hmm. You can have all the ventilators in the world, and it's not enough because your healthcare workers get sick very quickly, mm-hmm. and you've got no one to man them. So what we have learnt about this disease is you either keep it in very low numbers, very, very low, like they are in New South Wales and Victoria right now,
mm-hmm.
or if it gets to big numbers, you can't control that. So I think that it's reasonable to wait until Victoria gives the all clear and then Andy Robertson's happy to bring people in. But I think what this week has demonstrated is that we can't trust what other states tell us about what's happening in their communities. And we can't trust the federal government to let us know who's coming into the state so that we can have adequate preparation. And when there's no trust there, what worries me is if we get infection in the aged care facilities, which the Commonwealth are responsible for, there's just not a good conversation going on about how we're going to handle that, and the dominoes start to fall really quickly. And if people are worried about their business now,
yeah.
you can imagine how worried people are in Victoria, where they've had to go through a lockdown. And so, and lockdown is really the thing that we have to try and avoid by keeping it out.
Yeah. So in terms of this border issue that sort of bubbled up last week, what do you have a time frame? What do you think about Andy Robinson's evidence to the Education and Health Committee last week? Where do you think we're at in terms of maybe trying to reverse out of COVID and starting to get back to normal and rejoining the rest of the country?
Well, they're just not doing their homework well enough in terms of making the border smarter. And I suppose I've been trying to explain what I mean by a smart border for a little while
mm-hmm.
now. So initially we start out with a very blunt instrument, which is to just say you can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really unfair to some people and really impractical for business. So what you need to do is adapt that quickly using a transparent and fair process and technology to track, trace, test and isolate people
mm-hmm.
really quickly,
mm-hmm.
have that capacity, and then you can just let a stream of people come through to do what they need to do in a fair and open manner.
Mm.
But we don't seem to have put in place all of those things. The upgrade to the Good to Go app was really good, where we can trace people's location, and we should be trying to get as many people as we can into home quarantine, because it's much safer than hotel quarantine, where you've got workers coming and going all the time.
Yeah.
So I think, and we still have fairly basic PPE. We don't have good PPE, and we know that a big problem in Victoria was the healthcare workers who got infected, 3,500 of them
yeah.
in what was a reasonably small outbreak by world standards. And that brought the whole system crumbling to a halt, because if you can't treat anybody, then you can't cope with COVID at all.
Mm.
And then we've got this fiasco around people turning up on cargo ships now. Mm. Now, we knew this was always going to happen because the incidence of COVID is going to go up and up and up around the world. So, of course, crews are going to be turning up COVID positive. But my information is that the ones who came in yesterday to Fiona Stanley turned up in taxis, which is a bit different to what I've been hearing in the media, and that they didn't have PPE. So I think that our processes are not ready yet to be dropping the border. And all of those people who are impatient for business and so on need to be turning around to the government and saying, what are you doing to make sure we can safely open the border? Because the worst thing that will happen is if we open the border, we're not ready yet, and people have to close their businesses again.
When you say that these people arrived in taxis, what do you mean? Were they accompanied by anyone, or were they flying solo? Are they positive? Can you give us more information about that?
Yeah, well, what I've been told, and this is rumour at the moment, and needs to be confirmed, but the stories that I've had from the people involved, who should know, you know, they're pretty reliable people, but they're telling me that taxis were used to send people without PPE, no PPE on the taxi driver or the crew members, to Fiona Stanley Hospital yesterday, and that it was some time that they were just treated as any other patient within the facility, including perhaps visiting the x-ray section in one case without PPE, mm-hmm. before positive test results started to come back. And then, appropriate guidelines were put in place. So if that turns out to be true, and I'm just telling you what I've been, you know, told this morning, mm-hmm. Which is a bit different to the media story, but I think it's reliable enough that it's worth looking into and asking the questions of, was the story about there being a bus involved and people all wearing PPE the whole time, is that really true? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's really important to know whether Fiona Stanley had an exposure incident from this particular ship, because we need to change the process if that's the case.
Do you think that that's probably one of the reasons why the Premier came out so hard yesterday, basically calling for all cargo ships just to hire local workers?
Well, I think that he's frustrated, but I suspect that we have to move to a situation where we just accept that ships are going to turn up with COVID on them. We accept that passengers are going to fly in from wherever with COVID on them, including interstate. And we just have to have a smarter way of dealing with it, including taking it really seriously with the PPE and the processes that are involved. Andy Robertson's absolutely right that West Australia is a sitting duck for an outbreak of COVID because we're so open. Mm. Nowhere else in the world are they living like we are here.
Yeah.
We're living in Basildon now. I don't know what's happened. I woke up suddenly Basildon is the Lord Mayor of Perth. How did that happen? He's a terrific bloke, but it is a different place to everywhere else, and we need to just accept that we're very vulnerable. And hold the government to account to patch things up with the Commonwealth, hold the federal government to account to patch things up with the state, because they can't be bickering amongst each other while we're in the midst of a health crisis.
Yeah, indeed. Look, we're definitely going to chase up that whisper that you heard about Fiona Stanley. But one final question for Dr. Miller, is regarding the opposition made an announcement yesterday. They'll be allocating, if elected at the March election, $500 million to the new King Eddies out at QE2. What's your thoughts on that? We've spoken about this before. The state government have taken funding away and they haven't included it in the state budget this year. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, that's a terrific move. I think anyone who's prepared to be visionary and commit some money to the Women and Newborns Hospital, I'd like to see it maybe lose the male royalty name associated with it when it does shift across town. We can call it the Perth Women and Newborns Facility.
The Kate Middleton Newborn Facility or something like that.
Look, it's up to you, Jenna. It's not up to me to tell women what to do. I think that women in our state deserve a flagship independent facility. It's going to take a bit of money to put it there, no doubt. But the old one's 100 years old and full of asbestos and falling over. Mm-hmm. We're a rich society, as demonstrated by our surplus in the midst of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that the Liberals have contributed in this way is embarrassing to the government, in that they should have done that. They had the opportunity there to show a commitment to women's health, and they dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they'll pick it up again. It's not just another maternity or gynecological facility. It's a whole lot more than that in terms of the specialist expertise that develops, not just amongst the midwives and doctors and nurses and so on, but also there's all the anaesthesia, intensive care side of things, and the interventional radiology and so on. So it's a very complicated area. It ties into telethon. And what's done with newborns in our state is really remarkable, and it's benefited from that. So I think the Libs have picked an obvious deficiency in the government's budget, and good on them for doing so.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's an issue that I think a lot of us are probably going to keep on top of, probably because we own ovaries, but, you know, more on that later. President of the AMA in WA, Dr. Andrew Miller, go and have a cup of coffee to start your week off, and we thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live.
Well, I would if my cafe hadn't broken down this morning. I'm going to complain to Basil about that right now.
You should
I'm going
definitely
to get him on the phone and ask him what he's doing to fix my cafe. Thanks very much, Jenna.